You know, we've been studying, you know, the book of Romans, and as we say, the book of Romans is a defense of the gospel. And actually, if you want to understand salvation, if you want to understand what God has rescued us from and all the benefits of salvation, you need to study the book of Romans, because Paul writes it to the church in Rome, which he had not met, but he had longed to see them, to impart in them some spiritual gift. But he starts his argument from, we've seen from the first chapter, second chapter, where we see the wickedness of men, how no one is without excuse, but because they neither glorified God or never gave thanks to him, although God was evident to all men in creation, he handed them over to their own sinful lusts and to do what is wicked and what they desire to do with themselves. And even he looked at the Jews, he saw the law, and he clearly highlighted how the law, when even he himself was a Pharisee of the strictest sense, he realized that the law could not make him righteous, because the law worked in him all manner of desires and leading him to sin. So he was able to see that even the Jews themselves, who are the custodians of the law, cannot be righteous, because the Bible says all have sinned. There is no difference whether Jew or Greek, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But then he starts to teach us of this new righteousness that has been revealed, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. And this righteousness happens to us even while we were yet sinners. That the Bible says God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, he sent his son to die for us. And you see, no one will die for an ungodly man, but maybe for a good man, someone will choose to die. But God died for us. He sent his son to die for us. And this righteousness is one that is given, is counted to us. It's imputed, and he gives us two examples. One is Abraham, the other is David. And he says, David discovered the blessedness to whom the Lord does not count his sin against. That means that, I mean, if we are to look at ourselves, if we are to examine ourselves, if we are to be, you know, brought before a court of law and a court of justice, we are definitely guilty. We have sinned. We have sin in our bodies. We have sin in our minds. We have sin in our thoughts. In everything that we do, we find that we fall short of the glory of God. But you see, we don't become righteous based on our effort, but we become righteous by believing in the one that Jesus sent, that God sent. And that's why he said, this is to do the works of God, to believe in the one he sent. And so when we believe in Jesus Christ, then just like Abraham, who received that covenant, or rather who received, you know, he was declared righteous, you know, it was counted to him as righteousness even before circumcision was done. And then he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of that righteousness, which he received even before he was circumcised. So we can see that the way God works is that God declared the man righteous. He declared them. He called the things that are not as if they were. You know, so you can see that God realized that for me to deal with man, I call him righteous. The ones who have believed in what I have done, I declare them righteous. Then they now start to live and walk in that righteousness. So you can see he calls those that are not, he calls those that are sinful. When we look at ourselves, we see the sin in us, and indeed we see the struggles in us. But you see, God calls the things that are not as if they were. And you see, so when there was increase in wickedness, when there was increase in sin, the Bible tells us there was increase in grace. And then we've been able to see in Romans chapter 5, where there are so many benefits of salvation, where we see, you know, that we receive life, we receive grace, we receive, you know, we've been justified by faith, we receive peace with God, we have access to God. You know, we have hope. Indeed, even when we go through sufferings, we know that that suffering produces, you know, patience, and patience produces experience, and experience hope. And this hope does not put us to shame. And we've seen how God's love has been poured out to us. And yesterday we were able to see how we are no longer, you know, we are dead to sin, but we are alive in Christ. And in that we can see that God, what God does is that he makes us alive in him. So we are no longer dead to sin, but we are made alive in Christ. And that is very powerful because what we're able to see yesterday is that Adam's life, or rather Adam's disobedience, brought death. And death reigned over all men. By one man's sin, death came to all men. But you see, we are told that now the difference is by one man's obedience, of which is Christ, who is, you know, the last Adam, or the second Adam. You know, the Bible calls him in two places, either the second Adam or the last Adam. He comes to create a new man after him. So everyone who is made after the pattern of Adam is under the dictates of sin, is dead, because even though there was no law, but from Adam to Moses, sin still reigned. Even though there was no law, even though, you know, someone will say, we saw that yesterday, that someone will say that, oh yeah, so since there's no law, then it was not counted to those that they sinned. No, but you see, even though there was nothing to count them, death that came about by sin lived in them. And death reigned. And we saw that Adam was judged. We saw that Cain was judged. We saw that, those that lived in the time of Noah, they were judged. Why? Because sin was judged. And death entered, even though there was no law in that time. And likewise, also, now when the law came, what it did is that it pointed out to their sin. It in fact brought out the sin. And if you look at maybe later on in Romans chapter 7, we shall be able to see, is that the law works in the members. It generated even more evil desires. Why? Because like a child, when you tell him, don't do this, this is actually what the sinful nature makes them do. By nature, we are rebellious. Our sinful nature in us wants to disobey rules. Just because you have said that, you know, the time is 5 or people must come to office at 8, by nature, someone will just say, no, let me come late. Not because they wanted to come late, but just that sinful nature is rebellious. But what we are able to see is that what God has given us is life. And that life is in Christ. So death comes through Adam, but life comes through Christ. And then now we also see that, and this is what we'll be looking at today, is the relationship with sin, and what happens to the believer when we now come and encounter sin, and what is the state of sin, and even tomorrow we shall be able to see in chapter 7 the state of sinful nature, and what is that benefit of salvation that has come to the believer as a result of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So we are going to read from Romans chapter 6, from verse 1. It says, what shall we then say? Are we to continue to sin so that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self, or our old man, was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we will no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Verse 11, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And that's a very important verse, dead to sin. So verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Do not present your bodies, your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves as to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will no longer have dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Now, just to pause there, what are we seeing? We are seeing, you remember in the last verses of Romans chapter 5, we saw that where there was increase in wickedness, there was increase in grace. That means that where there was much sin, then much grace abounded. And that's why even Paul himself says that he that has been forgiven much loves much. You know, the increase in wickedness is not that we continue to increase in sin, that we should not now live in more sin because we know grace will abound. No, in as much as yes, grace will still abound even when there is increase in sin, we ourselves are not called to continue to live in sin. Now, when you find that yes, someone is continuing to live in sin, this is someone who has not understood the grace of God, because the grace of God, godly sorrow, leads us to repentance. When you can imagine that you deserved judgment, I mean, when you think of everything that we've done, we deserve the wrath of God, but you see, what we see is that grace, God pours out his grace, he pours out his life, he calls us righteous even when we don't deserve it, and that one is supposed, it leads us into righteousness. And one thing that we see now, it tells us that since we were baptized into Christ, remember, when we are baptized, when we come into Christ, when we believe in Christ, we are baptized into him. And even when the symbolism of when we are baptized in water, we are buried with Christ, we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into his death, and we don't stay dead. We are brought to newness of life and by the glory of the Father. But you see, there's something that happens that when we die, our old man is crucified, is killed, and is buried, but then a new man comes. And that is why that old man is Adam in us. That old man is crucified and put to death. And what happens is now we are set free. We are no longer under the dominion of sin. Verse 7 has told us, for the one who has died has been set free from sin. And the Bible says that we shall no longer be slaves to sin. Now that tells you that the Christian or the believer, the New Testament believer, the one who has believed in Christ, is no longer a slave to sin. That means that you have power over sin. You know, sin in itself is a controlling force. The sinful nature which lives in us, which is in our flesh, which is in our fleshly part, is a controlling nature. But you see, for the new believer, you are told that the Bible tells us that Christ has set you free from being a slave to sin. That means that sin has no dominion over you. Sin is no longer a stronghold to you. Or rather, you cannot say that, oh, I have no control, that I have no power to overcome this sin. No, the believer is given power, and the word of God tells us that we have been set free from the power of sin. And if you find that you're still in sin, it is not because that that sin has power over you. It is you that has given your power over to the sin. It's just like if you have been set free and you say, no, me, I don't want to leave this prison. I enjoy prison. I enjoy staying, being given rice and beans or bread and beans or portion and beans every day. I enjoy eating one meal a day, you know, tasteless food. The prison door is open, but you decide and you choose to continue staying in the prison. So the believer who believes that sin has power over them is one who has been set free by God from the power of sin, but still lives in sin by his choice and still believes in his stronghold that he is under the dominion of sin. But what we are saying is that consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That means that we no longer carry the consciousness that we are sinful before God. Think of that. Think of yourselves as dead to sin. That means that when sin wants to, you know, when sin wants to remind you, when you come before God and there is that desire to remind you that you are sinful before God, that you have done this, God is telling us, remind yourselves that you are alive in Christ Jesus and that you have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that God himself calls you righteous. When the Bible tells us now to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us glorious and blameless without fault before his great presence, it is God who made him that knew no sin to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. You are a saint. You are the righteousness of God by faith. Remember, it is by faith you have, and faith is the word that you believe and is the word that you speak for yourself. You have to constantly keep having that consciousness, that belief that, you know what, God calls me righteous. And I am not righteous because of my effort. I'm not righteous because of my doings, but I am righteous because Christ has made me righteous. And this is the gospel. The gospel is that our works, our righteous acts, those things that we think that we are doing that make us righteous are filthy rags. In fact, they are dead works. The Bible says we need to repent from dead works. Those are dead works, because every righteous act that we do in our effort, in our thinking that because we have read the Bible, we have fasted, we have been faithful all these years, we have never committed adultery and all these things, when we think of those things before God, they are filthy rags. But you see, the only righteousness that God receives is the one that Christ paid for, and we receive that righteousness. That is why it is by grace. We join ourselves. Verse 5 tells us we have been united with him in a death like his. Then we shall also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Our job is to hide under Christ. Our job is to connect ourselves to Christ. Our job is to be married to him. Remember that you're just thinking that you're no longer a slave to sin. Think of it. You're not a slave to sin. And God is telling us, now that you know this, now that you know that you're living in that perception, in that understanding that sin has no power over you, sin cannot control you, it is you that will allow yourself to sin. That is why it is not, we don't live in sin. That means it is a choice. It is, now for you to sin, it becomes a choice that you make. No longer that sin controls you. And then that's why the Bible says, do not let therefore sin reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. That means that it is you that says, sin, you can no longer reign in my mortal body. And you say, from today, you have no power over me. And when I see you have power over me, Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your left eye causes you to sin, or your right eye causes you to sin, cut it off. That means that you take measures to take off things that I want to control you. I mean, if it is this, cut it off. take it off. And the Bible says, do not present your members to sin as instrument of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members, that means your body, yourself, you present yourself as an instrument for righteousness. For sin has no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Verse 15, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you are once slaves of sin, have now become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you have committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Just think of this, what God is saying, that before you know God, you are a slave of sin. That means that you are controlled by sin. You will lie easily. You will do anything that sin tells you. I mean, whatever sin leads you to do, you'd find yourself doing it. But now God is telling us that now you have become a slave of righteousness. What does that tell you? That now by nature, your nature, the nature that God gives you in salvation is that actually, you are now a slave to righteousness. You find that by nature, you are just forced to do good things. I don't know how you look at that. That you are now a slave of righteousness, meaning that the thing that controls you now is righteousness. That is why when you meet someone that needs you to do good, you find that as a new creature, the thing that is in a command to you is actually to do good. The reason why you find that you're giving, you know, to the poor, or you're giving in church, or you're giving your offering, or giving your tithe, is that there is now a law that is now pushing you towards righteousness. You find that this you're now a slave to righteousness. That means you're the same way that sin would pull you. You have to go here. You have to go here. Now you're being pulled to righteousness. For me, it's very powerful that God pulls us, that no matter how far you keep falling in sin, or you keep struggling with sin as a believer, there is a law, there is something that God does, that he pulls you as a slave to righteousness. Why? Because you have believed in him and you have been set free from sin. And even though there might still be a part of you that you're struggling, there might be still a part of you that is still not yet, you've not yet set yourself free, God is still pulling you to righteousness. Why? Because he says, you are my slave to righteousness. In the same way that sin pulled us to death, God pulls us to life. And that's why he says, it is him that will present us to God. That is why we are assured of going to heaven. That is the assurance of salvation, that it is not us, it is God. By us, all we did is there is no to believe in the one he sent. And the Bible says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set them free from the law of sin and death. In that there is a law that wants us to go to death, to sin, but there's a law. There's a law that makes us slave to righteousness. Verse 19, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as once you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. That means that the more that we present ourselves to the righteous living, the more we are pulled towards being more holy. The more you yield to do the right thing, the more that you find that you grow more in sanctification. This is how God works. The more you submit to him, the more he pulls you deeper in him. And for you, at times it's just small acts of obedience. The more you obey this, the more you obey this, the more you find that God enables you. Why? Because now you are a slave to righteousness. Verse 20, for when you are slaves of sin, you are free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting from the time, from those things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification. And sanctification is what? Is the process of continually being made holy. All that God does is continually makes us more holy. He declares us righteous. That means we are not guilty. We have right standing with God. Then what God does is continually cleansing us and making us more holy. That is sanctification. So as a believer, what you will find, to God, you are righteous. You are right standing. You are declared justified. You are declared not guilty. And it is by faith. You're going to heaven. The moment you believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven. Now what God does is now he takes us through the steps of sanctification. You're continually being made holy and holy. As you continue to obey, as you being a slave to righteousness pulls you to righteousness, and you continue to obey, continue to do to read your Bible, continue to submit to the Holy Spirit, continuing to hear the Holy Ghost, continuing to worship, then you are pulled into righteousness. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is free of charge. You can move in righteousness. You can walk in righteousness. You can be continually sanctified. And don't feel bad if you find that you still areas that God is working on. That is part of God washing you and cleaning you up. He is continually cleaning up. And he will continue cleaning us up until even that last day when we shall be conformed into his image. But we find that you're continually growing in holiness. Count yourself a slave to righteousness and say, you know what? I'm not a slave to sin. I'm a slave to righteousness. And you will continually be sanctified. Beloved, you're loved of God, and the faith that you have in Christ makes you a saint, makes you righteous before God, makes you justified before God, and gives you authority. You're no longer under the dominion of sin. And by tomorrow, we'll see how we are no longer slaves to the law. So that is the topic for tomorrow, which we shall see in Romans chapter 7. So today we've seen that we are now no longer under slaves to sin, but we are dead to sin, but we are slaves to righteousness. So I'll stop there, and any reflections are welcome.
Yeah, no further reflection from me.
Thank you so much. There is the point of the fact that we just choose to sin, and not that we cannot say no. I remember when Paul was saying, the good I want to do, I cannot do it. But it is the bad that I don't want to do that I do. Who will save me from this
wretched body of death? Yeah.
Exactly. So in addition, it's like a wrestling. That choosing or that saying no to sin is that struggle where Paul was talking about knowing what good is, wanting to do it, but you can't do it. This also brings the fact that this issue of salvation is not you alone in it. while you have the decision, the power to do it comes from somewhere else. And that is the power that we must acknowledge in this journey in the salvation.
Amen.
The power, yeah. Thank you.
Amen. And indeed, that power is the grace of God. And I think it's Titus 1 verse 12 tells us that the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to live self-controlled and upright lives in this present age. And yet we'll also be able to see that aspect of the sinful nature, and this we'll be able to see towards the end of Romans 7 and Romans chapter 8. And you will also understand there is a place that we are also set free, because if you look at the end of that chapter of 7, it says, but thanks be to God, Jesus Christ. You know, when he was arguing, who will save us? Then he says, thanks be to God. And then he says, there's a law that has set us free. So that is something that we shall see. And I believe that God will continue to show us the benefits of salvation and the blessings that we have in salvation. And that is the grace of God. And it's a free gift of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you've called us to truth, and you've called us to walk in the place of mercy, the place of grace, the place of forgiveness, and we access this by faith. And I thank you that it is not of our effort, not of our ability, but it is by the faith that we give us the righteousness. And I thank you for my brother, my sister, who's putting their faith in you, that it is you that has forgiven their sins. It is you that has given them eternal life. And indeed, they are no longer under condemnation, and they receive the power to become slaves of righteousness. And we are no longer slaves of sin. We are no longer under the dominion of sin, but we have moved to the dominion of righteousness, to the kingdom of righteousness and of your Son, in which we receive life and we receive the power to do good and the constant sanctification that makes us holy. Continue to make us holy, O God. You know every area that where we are weak, show us mercy and sanctify us, purify us, make us whole, cleanse us, forgive us, O God, and give us that strength and ability to continually live in righteousness. I pray for our needs, those that are lacking, those that need healing, those that need grace for the work and even for their labors and their families and even in the workplaces. We pray that your hand shall help us, go ahead of us and keep us. We pray for healing in our bodies, and those that are unwell, we rebuke sickness in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. And have a blessed, blessed morning ahead. Bye.
Amen.